Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. A quarter of a century has passed, bifurcated by an ethic exchange of two millennia, since an unexpected apparition appeared in Earth's northern sky in the spring of 1996. A comet nobody expected passed Earth on an arc around the sun, followed the next year by a comet that had been anticipated for years. The newly discovered comet was named Hyakutake, after a Japanese amateur astronomer who found it, probably from his own backyard. It would seem as both comets acted as portents for this new century millennium that was just over the horizon. I kept a journal of Comet Hyakutake's swirl through our celestial neighborhood. KMUN was less than a month short of its 13th birthday when I began my chronicle of our surprise visitor on Thursday, March 21st, the vernal equinox, aptly appropriate for such a sense of vestal vertigo. Coincidentally, KMUN was in the middle of that year's spring pledge drive. I started my diary researching comets. A scientist of the International Astronomical Union said the last human beings to see Comet Hyakutake were Stone Age hunter-gatherers about 20,000 years ago. I look for what comets are in Timothy Ferris's book, Coming of Age in the Milky Way. Comets, he writes, are chunks of ice and dirt that fall in from the outer solar system, sprouting long, glowing tails of vapor and dust blown off by the sun's heat and by solar wind. He aptly describes Comet Hyakutake when he says the appearance of new comets cannot be predicted. Comets appear to originate in a cloud near the outer reaches of the solar system, about which little is understood, Ferris writes. Their orbits, altered by encounters with the planets and by the kick of their own vapor jets, remain difficult to predict as well. Only in the vicinity of the sun do they blaze up. They catch fire like a sulfur match, and a bluish flame leaps forth, wrote a 19th century astronomer about comets. Comets are striking testimony to the enormity of the solar system, Richard Grossinger writes in The Night Sky. They come seemingly from the depths of space and pass to the heart of the solar system in eccentric orbits, slightly perturbed by the planets, according to their size and proximity of their approach. Tonight, Comet Hyakutake will be just to the right of the star Arcturus. It will sail over the North Pole and disappear into the sun's glare in late April. It is due to swing around the sun beginning May 1st, and its return trip past Earth to the vast void beyond Pluto will be visible in the southern hemisphere only. Friday, 22 March, 1996. The sky clears tonight after rain. Near midnight, I go outside my house, which is in a spruce grove halfway up one of Astoria's hills. Stars are clear in the spiky sky. I easily find the Big Dipper reclining in treetops and trace an arc eastward through the shaggy cones of tall trees. Between the crowns of two trees, I find a star, a fist width north of Arcturus. Underneath it, a dimly bright fuzzball, which is Comet Hyakutake. I think I am able to register it move, though not actually see it. After a few minutes, the comet seems not directly underneath the star, or the star might be following Earth's spin. The stars and comet climb over my head. sounds of car motors at the bottom of the hill on the city's downtown waterfront itch my ears as I stare into the silence of space. I try to project myself 20,000 years into the past when this comet made its last swing near Earth. I wonder if any of my Paleolithic ancestors noticed the comet and what they might have thought of it. Are we any more sophisticated? Storms, floods, lights in the sky, ancient portents of cataclysmic events, omens to strain the veneer of a civilized cosmology. People tried to protect themselves from Halley's Comet in 1910 with alms and patented medicines, and Oklahoma sheriffs prevented the sacrifice of a virgin to placate the comet god by a sect called the Sacred Flowers. Comets have an unsavory reputation as heralds of disaster, from Latin, disastra, against the stars. This is because they are unpredictable, like the comet Hayakutake, which seems to have appeared from nowhere. Do you believe in time travel? Sam Devereaux asked me yesterday. Yes, I do, I said, thinking of the expanses of time since the comet's last appearance. I have traveled a few seconds through time since you asked the question. Sunday, 24 March, 1996. Best night yet for comet watching. Comet Hayakutake is closest to Earth tonight and tomorrow night, and so far has not collided with us. I first see it in a clear dark sky from the front porch of Peter Unander's house, like a stain on a shirt above the roofs of old houses across the street. Tonight I can see its tail. I point the comet out to almost everybody at a music jam party at Peter's house. On the porch, we all look east at the northbound comet, huddled close, our unconscious need for mutual warmth and protection when confronted with cold, dark, eternal space. The comet is outside our reach. It mocks our puny superiority over a peewee planet. It ridicules our misspent mediocrity. I am as common as dust in this brief interval of history. I am sentient, despite an insistent rattle in my brain that claims I am unique and immortal. My greatest contribution to Earth is my waste products. My death ends all life as far as I'm concerned. DOA to the worms. But it's really like a blues song might be. Old comet don't care. I wonder aloud how many millions of human terrestrials are looking up at the comet at this same moment we huddle together on a Pacific Northwest porch. The last time it careened past Earth, there were probably no more than 50 million human beings on the planet, a guess impossible to prove. This visit, we number nearly 6 billion. One of the billions said from across the street a few things about the comet I was unable to hear clearly, himself a shape of coal in the dark. I remarked to my cluster group on the porch that we are all linked by communications media and have read the same newspaper articles or listened to radio TV explicators factoiding the comet's brief passage through our sky. There is also an internet link with information pages and finder charts. I make postcards of the comet when I walk home. I stop several places and frame it above an old house, ships in the river, at tops of tall spruce and cedar trees. Comet flies over old Astoria House. Comet sails over ships anchored in the Columbia River. Comet crosses over Pacific Northwest forests. At midnight, I sit on my front porch and stare up above tall spruce trees that make an oval stage of the sky. Directly over my head is a comet that last raced past Earth when my Aboriginal ancestors were flaking flint. The comet aims straight north, cutting through the polar orbit of Ursa Major, the Big Dipper. I see its tail stretch over my roof. I am cosmic, enthralled, and humble that the comet flies over my house. I feel spectral, staring up into the star bright sky to see a flaming fuzzball with a starched tail stuck against the celestial backdrop like a bad paste job. I attempt to grok the span of 20 millennia, fore and aft, the last time and the next Comet Hayakutake laps planet Earth. I think it is remarkable that a comet is in the sky outside my house and that I'm able to see it from my front porch, much more a neighbor than the stars whose addresses are light years away. Of course, the planets are next door, and the moon is like a shed in the backyard. My favorite postcard, Comet Streaks Over Me, a sci-fi pulp drawing. Tesla snaps and crackles of electricity between the comet and my exposed, pulsing brain. The comedian George Carlin hopes the big comet that crashed to Earth and probably wiped out the age of reptiles and created us would return soon and set the world back to where it was. My desire is more modest. I would like to ride the comet through eternity, hail it like a city bus, and never get off. Monday, 25 March, 1996. The presence of the comet orbits me to my Paleolithic predecessors who stared up at it last time. I rummage through a pile of pulp shoved under a brick and board bookcase, which is stacked to the ceiling with books, searching for a large Life magazine coffee table-sized book, The Ethic of Man. Text is good, and not entirely obsolete 30 years later, although the chauvinistic title is. The paintings are the book's magnet, 20th century artists depicting their prehistoric ancestors. Composite paintings that attempt to portray 100,000 years of human development. I like especially a picture of Ice Age men painting brightly colored bison on cave walls that are crowded with illustrations of animals. I think Mother Nature would have preferred that human development go no further than the early Ice Ages, but we must rush ahead or perish. Even though it is significantly evident we are rushing to suicide, we have no other choice to escape biocide from decay. Death and despair propel us into the future where they wait to ambush us. The next time Comet Hayakutake passes this planet, its current reigning species might be extinct or scattered through the cosmos. Our gawking at it this visit would probably seem as primitive to future witnesses as the first known watchers are to us, our planet-flocked civilization scarcely advanced from chipping flints comparatively. My first sighting of Comet Hayakutake tonight is at 9:30. It is far inside the Big Dipper and appears to be part of Orion's belt. I rouse my neighbors and landlords, the McCaffertys, outside to see the comet for their first time. Jim loans me a pair of binoculars. Magnified, Comet Hayakutake resembles a glowing sorcerer's ball, blue white at its core. Through the lens, the comet seems isolated in space. Without them, it is part of a large skyscape, framed by spiky spruce silhouettes. I stare up at the sky, as if from the bottom of a well. The comet seems headed into the top of a tall spruce tree. It is visible from my front porch again tonight. I lay across the porch steps, staring through the binoculars. Through the lens, the comet looks like a glowing ice ball, ringed by an atmosphere of fog. Its dusty tail arcs over my roof. It is a cold night. A clanging sound of hammering steel on an anchored ship in the river mixes with the throaty boat motor, perhaps a tug straining against a heavy barge or a herd of logs. A large ship passes Astoria. Sea lions chorus for a while underneath waterfront piers. Car lights on Irving Avenue below my hillside warp my observation. The sky is quiet, empty of noisy flying machines. Moonlight droops as the waxing crescent drops. Comet Hayakutake's icy core brightens. The comet disturbs the nighttime sky. Its soft fuzziness is so compellingly different from the hard glint of stars. It seems targeted like a missile, its northbound ellipse contrary to the polar rotation of Ursa Major. The Big Dipper circles to the south of the comet. Perhaps before dawn, the saucepan will be far enough to catch it. It would be interesting to see a meteor flare out near the comet. The binoculars reveal two stars flanking the comet like wings in the darker sky. They are the outer stars of Orion's belt, which points stiffly east as it winds around the comet like a propeller blade. The comet seems far enough away from Earth in its trajectory that if it breaks apart, its pieces will crash against some other planet closer to the sun. My final perch on the porch, the sky has shifted westward. The comet is still aimed at the treetop, but from the other side. Tuesday, 26 March, 1996. An Associated Press article in the Daily Astorian reports that millions of people across the United States and most of the top half of Earth saw Comet Hyakutake Sunday night. A woman in Florida said, "The comet is so long, so clear and beautiful." An Everett, Washington stargazer said the northbound fuzzball hits you right between the eyes. "It's the first comet you can see from downtown Baltimore with the naked eye," says an astronomy professor from Johns Hopkins. The comet of the century, someone enthuses. Although next year's appearance of Hale-Bopp already has its enthusiasts, a year before its emergence from the void out beyond Pluto, through which prowl an estimated 100 billion comets, as many as stars in the Milky Way. Hyakutake comes from there, but scientists say a previous trip around the sun cooked its dust and gases into the luminous coma. A Georgia observer said, "We don't often have the opportunity to see something this close moving so fast. Speed is a problem." A NASA telescope operator says the comet is so swift, the Hubble Space Telescope camera will have to point somewhere in the sky and just guess. When someone sees it, they call five or six neighbors. Then everyone runs out to look, a Whidbey Island, Washington woman says. The comet is being called a fuzzy snowball, an automobile headlamp shining through fog, and to those with scopes, a candle in the mist. Today is overcast with drizzle but clears at dusk. I first noticed Comet Hyakutake before 9 p.m. It is already west of the tree it was pointed out last night and not much farther away. I thought it might be much lower in the sky tonight, but its trajectory over Earth seems like watching a vessel leave shore. You don't see it move. It gets smaller instead. The comet is not quite as bright because the moon is bigger and later in the sky tonight, glistening through the forest on the hill above my house. The comet's head seems pointed steeply northwest. Its tail dusts off to the southeast, faintly glowing like slug slime. Just after 10 p.m., moonlit clouds fill the sky like cream poured into coffee. I watch through McCafferty's binoculars as the comet is blotted out. 15 minutes later, it emerges to float on a small, clear lake. By 11:30, it is encircled by clouds that resemble an atmospheric estuary of ponds and puddles. The comet warps in and out of my sight. At midnight, the sky is a blanket. All lights are out. Wednesday, 27 March, 1996. It is awesome that I can lay in bed, covered up against the cold night in a human shelter, and stare out a glass window at a comet that was last seen in these skies 200 centuries ago. The ancestors of the Chinook tribes, of which one was the Clatsop, for whom this county was named by descendants of those who dispossessed them, might have just discovered this stormy coast and massive river when Comet Hyakutake passed overhead. The Columbia River is regrettably named for the great navigator whose own botched discovery began the savage process that ended native dominion over the Western Hemisphere a mere half millennium past. Perhaps one of the originals looked up from a sleeping place on the ground my house occupies and observed the comet as a miracle or an omen. Of course, these hills above the river were thickly forested, trees hundreds or thousands of years old that were probably impenetrable and blocked out the sky. Local Paleolithics might have seen Comet Hyakutake from the river, from one of the sturdy boats the people who lived here until recently built from cedar, spruce, and fir, and rowed out into the river and ocean for fish and travel. Thursday, 28 March, 1996. Tonight, I visit a house at the edge of my neighborhood, a lovingly cared-for house built in the last century. Its owner, Michael Foster, recently installed two exotic sculptures in the front yard. One is two sharp metal spheres rising to the sky, like curved arms yet vaginal in their arch, cleanly abstract and inscrutable, celestially unpassioned, rooted solidly to the hillside with feet as incongruous as cartoon goofy shoes stuck in a concrete slab. I stop by the sculpture nearly every day and regard it as infinity, terminus of time and space, not so different from a film version of H.G. Wells' Time Machine, in which eons race past its inert position, or the 5,000-year-old Sphinx buried under desert sand for centuries. I wish to frame Comet Hyakutake within the sharp, loopy spheres of infinity. Unfortunately for my plan, the house is emblazoned with lights, an excessive paradigm of humanity's universal insensibility. That makes it difficult to conjure a space-time allegory about comet and infinity. Perhaps our long-ago ancestors did something like that the last time the comet came by, humanizing the extraordinary and inexplicable into our species' first cosmic grasp of knowledge, though these sorts of manifestations and omens probably terrorize them also. At home, I sit on my porch for a while and stare up at the comet. It is more west and further down the sky from last night's observation. I wonder how it might appear from the deck of a vessel on the ocean. I was aboard an albacore tuna fish boat when the first humans walked on the moon. I stared into space at the moon that night and felt like a speck adrift on the vast inner space of an ocean planet, which is itself whirling on the periphery of 100 billion stars, a few of which cosmically surging in galactic expansion through an elastic universe provide direction for earthly seafarers. The word planet, a gift from our exalted Greek ancestors, means wanderer. And what else is a comet as it suddenly appears like a racehorse coming up from behind and swiftly spurts past us, its orbit around our life-giver star much broader, more grandiose than our parochial and unvarying ellipse. Very soon, Comet Hyakutake will speed back into the dark spatial desert beyond planet Pluto, which might not be a planet, its real home for several thousand years before again orbiting back into the neon lights of our small town solar system. Tuesday, 2 April, 1996. Comet Hyakutake has been out of sight since Wednesday. Rain clouds moved into Astoria the next day. Tonight is the first night stars are visible. I had hoped today's clear blue sky might augur comet sighting tonight, a possible final farewell to a co-citizen of a small cosmic neighborhood I will never know enough about or have a chance to explore. I searched for the comet 2 hours after dark, but trees, streetlights, moonlight, and spreading clouds foil me. I stumble through a deserted yard next to an abandoned house and trip over roots, branches, and for all I know, organic remains. The comet should be down around Perseus tonight, but I am unable to see any sign of it. A threadbare layer of clouds obscures the northwest sky. I give up for the night. Wednesday, 3 April, 1996. I wake up early, a couple of hours before dawn. I go outside on my porch. Stars overhead. Big Dipper rolling over like a puppy. I dress and walk down a steep driveway and cross Irving Avenue to Mayor Willis Van Dusen's driveway, which overlooks the closest field of open sky. I look toward the northwest in the sky that surrounds Perseus. A thin sheet of clouds veils the sky. A full moon illuminates it. The moon was eclipsed earlier. No one in the west got to see it. The eclipse was over when Luna popped its gleaming face into our sky. It seems foolish to persist looking for the comet. I have been lucky to see as much of it as I have. Next year, Hale-Bopp will be here, also in March and April. But Hale-Bopp is predicted. The oracles of the starry sky have been startled by Comet Hyakutake. It flies at us from nowhere. The excitement is that it has put on a good show as it drives past us on a near lane of our freeway around the sun, which excites millions of terrestrials in the northern hemisphere. I discovered its bonding potential when the comet was visible over Astoria. I asked whoever I encountered if they had seen it. Nearly everybody had, and each expressed being affected by its appearance. We have been shown evidence of a far greater story than our own. The comet makes X-rays of each of us. We see each other for who we are, fragile creatures of glass and paper, scarcely enough time to make oneself at home on the planet before we are evicted. Is this the only appearance we make as ourselves in the universe? A fellow celestial has visited from out of the past and is swiftly gone into the future. I am fairly exalted and a little emptier than a month ago when I first became acquainted with my cosmic neighbor, Comet Hyakutake. The comet speeds away forever to us here and now. This is Michael McCusker. Dylan Hauser-Schalk is engineer for this program. Happy Bicentennial Plus 10 to Astoria, Oregon, the oldest American city in the American West, this upcoming Monday, April 12th, which deserves an all-American three-day holiday. Although it is quite possible an anciently indigenous habitat existed on both sides of the mighty river of the West when Comet Hyakutake last visited 20 millennia ago. And 5 days later, on Saturday, April 17th, Astoria's renowned community radio station, KMUN-FM, celebrates its 38th broadcast year, which is also the finale of its annual Spring Pledge Drive. So pledge, pledge, pledge. Keep Comet, KMUN, high in the sky. Now is not the time to let down our guard. Spring is rebirth for viruses as well as flowers. Life blooms in every breath, which also spews death. Yin and yang, vernal veritas. Don't vacillate, vaccinate. Self-preservation preserves everybody else as well.